Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God.
It's time for the Holy Manna radio broadcast with Brother Byron Chesney, pastor at Highland Baptist Church. For the next few minutes, Brother Byron will be bringing you some truths from God's holy word. So have your Bible ready and follow along with Brother Byron.
So look at verse 20. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? So in other words, yes, Jesus, I've done all these things. Everyone that you met, this commandment, the seventh, eighth, sixth, I've done all these. I've checked them off right here. You see my list, right, Lord? You see this list right here. I've kept all these things. So what else is there? Go ahead and give me the rest of them. And so he's wanting to tell the Lord how good he is. Now, there's a lot of people today that think that because they're really good people, that they're assured a place in heaven. They have eternal life, that God's going to grant them a place in heaven. And as long as they treat people good and they live a good life and they do good things and charity and all, some people think that, you know, carrying a Bible around is a good thing and that's going to assure, wearing a cross around my neck. I'm not dogging you for wearing a cross around your neck. I believe my wife's got one on right now. But listen, those things like that are just religious things. Saying bless you when somebody sneezes, you know. Some people think, well, I'm a pretty good person. I say bless you every time somebody sneezes. Well, good for you. You know, sharing religious posts on Facebook. Isn't that the big one today? I know some people that literally live like the devil, and yet they post religious things on Facebook thinking that somehow, I don't know what they think on it. But to me, I'm like, why are you doing this? They'll post a religious post, and the next one, they're cussing and talking about all the wicked things that they're doing and all this. Listen, friends, your religious things, the things that you're trying to do, is not going to assure you a place in heaven. And some people say, well, listen, I never killed anybody. I'm sure the rich young ruler's thinking this way. I never killed anybody. I never committed adultery. I've never stolen anything. I've never lied. I've always honored my parents. And yes, I've always loved my neighbor. So, Lord, is there something else that you need me to do? And I'm sure the Lord looked at him, knowing this young man's heart, knowing that everything that he just said that he's kept up with, he's done all these things, and the Lord knows that that is not true. That is not true. Look at the list again. Thou shalt do no murder. And you could say, well, yeah, I've never killed anybody. But the book over in Matthew 5 and 21 and through 22, the Bible says, you've heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Whoa, that's pretty severe right there. What about that second one? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, I've definitely never done that, Lord. Okay, well, what about what it says in Matthew 5, 27 and 28? You've heard that it was said of them by old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. Friends, I want to tell you today that's going to convict most men in this world today. And so this rich young ruler, I'm sure, now if Lord's explaining this to him, he's going to start weaking down. Thou shalt not steal. Oh, that little thing. Nobody's going to notice that missing. That's no big deal. Everybody does it. It's fine. Nobody ever find out. What about thou shalt not bear false witness? Oh, now a little white lie doesn't hurt anything, does it? I mean, if it's for their good, you know, if it's going to make them feel better, you can lie about it, can't you? No, that's still a lie. That's still a sin. What about honor thy father and mother? You expect me to keep doing that after I've got out of my home and got married and have kids? I'm supposed to honor my father and mother? You better believe you are. And what about thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself? Listen, I got to take care of number one first. Before I go help my neighbor, I got to make sure that me and my house are okay, all right? That's not what the Bible says. It says love your neighbor as yourself. Who do you get up and take care of first thing in the morning? Number one, right? You go look in the mirror, you brush your teeth, you comb your hair, you make sure you've got coffee in the pot, you make sure you've got breakfast in your stomach. What about your neighbor? Are they starving to death? Do they not have anything? They got any water? They got electricity? You know, do we think about these things? Not feeling so confident now, are we? Listen, this rich young ruler still hasn't got it. Listen to what he says. He said, what lack I yet? What else do I need to do? What good thing must I do to have eternal life? Do I need to mow somebody's yard? Do I need to rebuild somebody's porch? Do I need to carry an old lady's groceries to her house? What do I need to do? I got to do something good. I know I do. And that's a lot of people today think that. I got to go do something good. And while doing good things is a good thing to do, don't ever think that that is somehow getting on a list of things that God's saying, look at the things he's been doing. Boy, his list is really growing there. I think I'll let him into heaven. Look at all the good things. Did you see him carry that old lady's groceries? That was something, because they were heavy. We'll put him up there a little bit higher. And so people's got this weird mentality here, thinking that all their good things are going to help them out. Okay, verse 21, Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. You see that? And come follow me. This is the key here. And so right away when Jesus tells him something, okay, I'm going to tell you what it is. Are you ready for this? Listen, and I'm sure he's got his ears peaked. Oh boy, here it is. I'm going to get to hear what the golden thing is I get to do, and I'll have eternal life. And then Jesus says, if thou be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor. What? Are you kidding me? Do you know who I am? Do you know how much money I have? Do you know my position? You expect me to give all that up and give it to poor people? Listen, in the mind of the Jew, if you were poor, if you had some kind of physical ailment, to them that meant that you were not, God was not blessing you. And if you had money and you had health, then God was blessing you. That was the Jew's mentality. And so this young man right here, are you kidding me? You're going to make, I got to give up everything. I'm going to be rich, destitute, I mean, not rich anymore, destitute, poor. Is that what it's going to take? And so, look, Jesus, you got to be kidding me. The Gospel of Mark says when Jesus told him that, listen to what it said. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me. Friends, isn't that just like our Savior? He knows this young man's heart inside and out the same way he knows yours. He knows every recess of your heart, every recess of your mind. He knows what you're thinking at this moment in time right now. He knows the evil thoughts and the good thoughts too that's down in your heart. He knows them all. And he knows this young man. And so the Bible says, Jesus, beholding him, loved him. This man's not going to come to saving faith in Christ. But yet Christ loved him. You know, he loves the world. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And so he loves the world despite their sinful condition. That person that you know is the worst person on earth that has not been saved, he loves them too. He loves them just as much as he loves you. And the Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so his desire that everybody be saved. He loves the world. Who's the world? We are the world. All right? We're the world. When you get saved, you're a child of God. But in the meantime, if you've not been saved, you're part of the world, and Jesus still loves you. And he looked on this young man with love. Beholding him, he loved him. And he gave him this great truth. This is all he's got to do is take up his cross and follow him. And again, that's the key here. And so we need to love the Lord God with all of our heart, all of our soul, and with all of our mind. Nevertheless, Jesus still loved him, just as he does all sinners. Despite your sin, despite your shortcomings, despite your rebellion, Jesus loves you and he died for you. Go back to our opening text there in verse 22, Matthew 19 or 22, and we'll see the outcome of this rich young ruler. Verse 22, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So this rich young man, he had more faith in his works than he did in the Savior. He had more love for his possessions, for his money, for his wealth, for his place in society, for his position in life. He had more love for that than he did for the Lord. And as long as he could keep a set of rules and abide by them and look and act the right part, then everything was fine. But when Jesus told him he had to deny himself, take up his cross and follow him, he's unwilling to allow Jesus into his life. He's unwilling to trust Jesus and receive him as his Savior to meet all of his needs. We sung that song, and it's for a reason. It's for this message. We sung that song, Christ is All I Need, during our invitation period. Friends, the reason I put that in there is because we need to realize that we need Christ above all things. I know it takes money to live on, but listen, it is no life without Christ. I see people today that struggle and go on through life and they're miserable, but they don't know Jesus and they keep wondering why. Listen to me. Jesus will provide your needs. Jesus is there for you. He may not pay your electric bill, okay? But I want you to know that you will know that you can have eternal life when you've received Christ as your Savior. And so I hear people all the time. I'll ask people if they've been saved. I've heard them say, I hope so. I've heard them say, maybe. I've heard them say, I think I'm going to heaven. I've heard all these different things from people hoping that their goodness, their good works, their religiosity is going to allow them into heaven. But sadly, that's not the case. That is not the case. As in the case of the rich young ruler, it's not going to be enough. He's trusting on his own good works, his own riches to get him into heaven, and it's not going to happen. I want to ask you this morning, what are you trusting in today? Have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Him and Him alone? Because it is only through the Son that you can go to the Father. The only way you'll be in heaven is through Christ. Jesus said, I am the door. I'm the way. I'm the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so, do you think you're good enough to make it into heaven? Have you done enough good works? Have you kept enough commandments? Have you given enough an offering plate? Have you attended church every time the door's open? And sadly, that's what a lot of people think and base their opinions on. All that means nothing when it comes to your salvation. And by the way, let me say this. If you can go back and look at your family lineage, if anybody could do that today, it would be me standing here right here today. I can go back and I can tell you about my daddy and I can tell you about my grandfather who founded this church and preached here for 9 years back in the 40s. I can go back and tell you about all these people that did all these things and how my Granny Spencer played the piano her whole life and my mama sung and all this and my dad taught Sunday school. I could go back and brag and tell you all the things that my family did and none of that's going to get me into heaven. I can brag my way straight to hell by counting on my family to save me. Listen, salvation is individual. God saves individuals. He don't save groups together as one salvation. Your daddy's salvation is not your salvation. Your papa's is not yours. It's you and you alone. Your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Romans 3:10-12 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They've all gone out not good enough and never will be. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know what that means? If you've come short of the glory of God, there is no way, no how that you could ever stand in His presence and be guaranteed into heaven. There's no way if you've come short of the glory of God. So what has to happen? You have to have a way to be able to stand before God. You have to have a way. There has to be a bridge built on that gap, because right now there's a huge gap here between you and God. If you've not been saved, there's a gap there, and you can't reach God because you fall short of His glory. So in order to have eternal life and live in heaven, there must be a way besides our works, besides our good deeds, besides all this. So what is that way? Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Did you see that? Eternal life is possible. There is a way to go to heaven, and it's not through what you've done. It's through a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Eternal life is possible. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's as plain as it can be. That's not what I've made up. That's what God says. He says it's not of your works that you can have eternal life. It's only through Christ that you're saved. By grace, through faith are you saved. The gift of God is Jesus Christ. He is the gift. He's the sole exclusive way to heaven. And to have eternal life, it's only by being justified by faith that you could ever go to heaven.
We pray that this has been a blessing to you. If you feel led to help us with the cost of the broadcast, our address is Highland Baptist Church, 6014 Babelay Road, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37924. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you.